Good to see everybody here this morning. I just wanted to start by saying thank you to a special little girl who just makes my day. She drew me a picture. This gives me hope in our children, in our families. You know, and what I love is that there's so many bright colors. I don't quite know what it is, but it's beautiful. Isn't that the way it is a lot of times? You see the, it doesn't matter what you've been through or what you're going through, sometimes it just takes a little child paying attention to you that just reminds you of the hope that there is. It's been a good day. I hope that it's going to be a good day for you as we move into the next 3 weeks. Yeah? All right. We'll get to that in just a few minutes here. I wanted to start by celebrating with someone. Where's Christian? Where are you? Hey, come on up, man. I know this. You love doing this. I know you love being in front of people. Hey, I had the opportunity to baptize this guy last Sunday night right here, and I'm going to show you. Oh, there the pictures are right there. Hey, how are you doing? Good to see you, man.
Good morning.
Well, so this is exciting, right?
Yes, sir.
Here's the mic right here. Could you just tell us where are you from?
San Angelo.
Okay, nice, good. You're local? Nice. Okay, and you're at ASU?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what are you studying?
Business management.
Business management. Okay, good. All right. This was a big moment for you.
Yes, sir.
And this is something that you've been talking with the Jordans about for a while, and this is one of those moments. I mean, you've been on this faith journey for a while. And I just wanted to bring you up here so people could see you first and foremost, you know, because a lot of times we have people who get baptized and we may not know what they look like, but now y'all have no excuse, right? Hopefully at the end of the service today, you will introduce yourself with your masked faces, right? Let them see your masked face up close. I wanted you to know that baptism is as I said when I baptized you, it is a huge event. And you not only are, it's not only a personal decision, this is a communal decision because you were baptized into a family. So all these people out here, they're your brothers, they're your sisters, and these people will do anything for you. They will help you. And our commitment as Christians is to love one another. And this includes you. And so we have a gift for you. I know you probably already have a Bible, but we're going to give you this one right here. This is a Life Application Study Bible. And I went ahead and highlighted a little passage for you. You don't have to open it up or look at it, but right now, I wanted you to be reminded of something, because when you are baptized, there is hope, and there is this overwhelming feeling and a decision, and I wanted you to be reminded of that hope today. So I'm gonna read what I highlighted to you, and I'm going to speak this word over you and over these people right here. This is what Peter says. He says this: "Now we live with hope, great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is going to protect you by his power until you receive the salvation, which is ready to be revealed in the last day for all to see." So my encouragement and Peter's encouragement: be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though there's going to be trials. You're going to endure many trials. These trials will show you that your faith is genuine. You know, it's being tested as fire tests pure and purifies gold, though your faith is more important than gold. So when your faith remains strong through these trials, it's going to bring you praise and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. And I'm just going to say all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus from the dead, so we follow. So my hope for you is to just lean into this, man. It's not going to be great. It's not going to be perfect all the time. We're still going to mess up, but man, there's grace, there's hope, and there's a family that's backing you up every step of the way. All right, I'm going to pray for you. God, thank you so much for Christian, for his choice, his willingness to come up here and to be seen by everyone. Lord, thank you for his courage, and I just pray that you would honor him and bless his way forward. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to wrap our arms around him and his family who is watching us online right now, and I just pray that you would help them to encourage Christian as he blesses and changes this world. Lord, I pray that you would flow through him with your spirit to do incredibly powerful things. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. God be with you, brother. All right, man. And I love that. So you really have no excuse. As soon as church is over there, right here, raise your hand there. Hey, Tracy, just raise your hand. Let everybody know where you're sitting. Okay, there you go. Thank you. All right. I love doing that. This is great. Today we're going to start a three-part series, and it's a short one. It's a short series that that I hope is going to be helpful. Our country is in a little bit of turmoil, wouldn't you say? A little bit of division, maybe? People are talking about a lot of different things, politics, the future of our country, safety, security, our economy. You know, all these things are on our minds. And now I'm taking a risk here, but I feel like I'm being led to tell you exactly who to vote for. Did you feel that? Did y'all feel that? I'm just kidding, by the way. Isn't it funny? You just mentioned that word, you mentioned that phrase, and people start to get a little panicky. I wonder how many, hey, don't turn the TV off yet. I do feel, though, that God is leading me to kind of help us navigate our way over the next 3 weeks. Now, I know that a lot of you probably are safe and secure, and you're all good. But I also know that there's a lot of people that are a little anxious, and some more than a little anxious. But see, I believe that as followers of Jesus Christ, we have an opportunity here. We have an opportunity in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the anxiety, in the midst of all of the things that are going on, we have an opportunity to be different, to bless others. We're in an odd little situation as Christians. We're in the world, but we're not really of the world. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and we have declared our allegiance to God first and foremost. Amen? I'm going to say that again. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and we have declared our allegiance to God first and foremost. Amen? That's true, right? That's who we are. And I think that as followers of Jesus, we have an opportunity to help and to bless and to influence our community regardless of the time of year or the season. So for the next few weeks, what I want to do is I want to discuss three important elements of helping people to see God's will live and in person. Three elements that will help us to reflect God's will, reflect life how it is in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Today, I want to start with hope because I believe that's a good anchor point for us to begin with. Now, for those of you who've not chosen to follow Jesus, I want you to stick with me over the next few weeks because I think that today, even today, you're gonna hopefully discover that there are some things that are hopeful for you. There are things in this conversation that I think you will be able to grab onto and realize that this is a life that's worth living. It's a life that's worth following. God's waiting for you to join him. And I believe that he's waiting to show you your purpose. So, if you're a believer, do you remember your baptism? We just talked about Christians' baptism. Do you remember your baptism? Remember that moment when you chose to let everyone know that you were a follower of Jesus Christ? You remember that moment whenever you chose to make your confession that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? And you confessed to everyone because of your belief, and your belief was strong. You made the choice not just to get baptized so you wouldn't go to hell. I mean, that's not it. You made a choice when you got baptized to live differently, to be different, to be that salt and light in a community. That confession was a huge moment in our life. I know it was for mine. It still is, really. And I think when Jesus is talking to his followers, the ones who were following him for all those years, he was teaching them how to pray one day, and he uses this phrase, and he says, he prays that thy kingdom will come and that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, when I was younger, I used to think that this would happen just kind of magically. God would kind of just make things happen. But as I've gotten older, what I've realized is that just as we have chosen to follow God, I believe God has chosen to work through us. God chooses to work through us. Could he just magically make things happen? Of course. But it's not how he chose to do it. He has chosen to use us, those people who have given him everything, to bless the world. He's chosen to use his people, his family, Abraham, Israel, us. He wants to work through us. He wants for us to give people an idea and an image of what heaven is like. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When I think of heaven, I think of heaven as a paradise. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." A lot of times we think of heaven in terms of streets of gold or pearly gates. It says there are 12 gates and each one is made of one solid pearl. That should be something to see. A lot of times we think of heaven in these ways of just beyond beautiful. But I think it's more than a crystal sea and precious stones all around. Heaven is the fact that God is there. I mean, in person, live. God is there. He's close. And he's not only around us, he's there in his people. Right in the midst of them and in his people. His spirit is there with them, in them. God's way is the way of the people. God is their light. He is their source of life. Heaven is filled with a kingdom people who are reflections of the God that they follow. And this is who we are hoping to be here and now, isn't it? As people of God, we're hoping to be a reflection of him. Now in the scripture I read earlier to Christian, Peter lays out this hope very clearly. He lays out the hope that we have because as children of God, that this means that we have an inheritance. As a child of God, we are entitled, believe it or not, he has chosen us to be entitled to his inheritance. The inheritance is something that will never decay. It will never spoil, never fade, ever. And part of this label as a child of God means that we're going to be saved. It means that we're going to have that moment when everyone is going to realize at the very last moment that Jesus was right. And then our faith wasn't in vain. Our hope wasn't naive. There's going to be a moment when the world sees it. That's what we're hoping for. That's our hope. As a child of God, that's what we get to do. So in the meantime, we get to live and reflect God. And even here right now, we can even experience God. We don't have to wait to get to heaven. This is something that can happen here and now. Even in the midst of the difficulty, even in the midst of the turmoil, even in the midst of everyone arguing back and forth. And so I think this is an opportunity for us to reflect the way of God so that people in our everyday life can see how it is in heaven. Can you see it through us, through our everyday actions, through our everyday words? Now, when 1 Peter was written, he was writing to a group of people who had some difficulty in their culture. It was dangerous, growing dangerous for the followers of Jesus. They weren't like the rest of their culture, these people. Now, you couldn't pick them out in a lineup, but they were different. And they were from all different social classes. I mean, this was spreading. Now, to the Jews, they weren't real Jews. Because, you know, there were some Gentiles mixed in, and some of them didn't do all the things that you were supposed to do if you were Jewish. Even though Christianity was basically a Jewish religion. And, you know, these people had chosen to follow Jesus instead of what they thought was following God. And these people they thought were dangerous because they weren't necessarily loyal to Israel. They were loyal to Jesus. And it was dangerous on the other side as well because for the most part, Romans were very tolerant. They were okay. There was enough gods to go around for the Roman people. But these Christians were different. They only believed in one God. They wouldn't sacrifice to any other god. They wouldn't honor Caesar above all, which wasn't as dramatic as you might think. It probably included a little pinch of incense put on a fire and a couple of words to declare Caesar was Lord of all. Probably all in all, 10 seconds once you finally got up there. It wasn't much. But they wouldn't do it because their belief and their hope was that Jesus was Lord of all. And this started leading to some problems. To the common Roman, these people were disrespectful. They were sacrilegious, unpatriotic. You know, people were offended. So Roman leaders at that time, they tried to root out the problem. Because if people don't care about that social, society, they don't care about those things, you tend to lose control or power. And this is when persecution started. They didn't know what to do with these people. What do we do with these people? They're just so different and they're stubborn. There's one letter that you can actually read. It's written to the Emperor Trajan, or Trajan. And one of the governors is asking him, what do we do with these people? I've already tortured some. Tortured a couple of Christians. I've tortured a couple of women. And tried to give them a chance to repent. But they wouldn't do it. And he says this. He says, the superstition has spread not only to the cities, but also to the villages and farms. It's getting out of control, he's saying. It was spreading, though, because it wasn't superstition. It was hope. Hope was spreading. And even though they were encountering some serious issues, these Christians still had hope. They had hope for their inheritance. They had hope for their salvation. They had hope for vindication, forgiveness, justice. They had hope that Jesus was going to come and make everything right. And this was so curious to these leaders too, because they, started to make their lives miserable. They just didn't understand them, so they thought, what else can we do? Let's just make their lives miserable. Maybe they'll just, give up. So they took away their possessions, they took away their social status, their dignity, they gave them no justice when they were crying out for justice. If someone would steal from them, they'd appeal to their governor, and they would know, oh, you're a Christian. Next. They'd give them no justice. They would hurt them. They would sometimes even kill them. But even though these people were not seeing justice in their everyday life, even though things were weren't as they wanted them to be, many still clung to hope. And they continued to approach their everyday life with honesty in their business. By the way, back then, the bar was pretty low on the Better Business Bureau. If you were honest, it was unusual. It's the same today. I hope it's not the same today. But you know those people that are not honest, and you know how you approach them. So whenever you really see someone who's honest, it stands out to you. And these people were honest. In the midst of all their difficulty, in the midst of all the injustice, they were still honest. They were still kind. They were still compassionate. They were still showing love and grace and mercy. Even through the difficulty with facing people who were just downright mean, they continued to share their hope with others. So when you met some of these people, you realized they were distinctively different. I mean, even though things were desperate, they did not despair, which leads me to realize something, that despair, it cannot coexist with hope. They're opposites. Despair and hope, there's not enough room for one or the other. You have to have one or the other. So these are the people that Peter are writing to here, because some were really struggling to keep their hope. Some were on the brink of giving in. Some had already given in because they lost sight of the goal. They lost sight of Jesus, and it was just really hard. So in chapter 3 of 1 Peter, that's where I'm going to go to chapter 3. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. We hear Peter, who is encouraging his brothers and sisters, Christians who are having a really tough time. He's encouraging them to stay together and to live as people of hope. This is what he says. 1 Peter 3. He says, finally, all of you, be like-minded. Be sympathetic. Love one another. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what's right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Peter does not sidestep the fact that there's going to be difficulty. He doesn't sugarcoat it. But what he does say is that in the midst of our suffering, we can actually still live as people of hope. We don't have to get caught up in the arguments of the world. And if we were to simply to kind of pick this scripture apart, what I think we can see is about maybe five or probably six things that we can cling to that can help us to live as people of hope, so that when people encounter us, they will see hopeful people instead of despairing people. And I'll work through that really quickly. Number one, the first thing I think we can do, we can be compassionate and humble. Simple. Just don't assume the worst of people. Don't assume that other people's opinions are better than your own. Don't assume your opinions are better than theirs. See people as more than what they say or what they do, or even their political ideology. Because none of us are two-dimensional, are we? We're not flat Stanley standing up here. We are textured. We have history. We have experiences, and some of your experiences with people that you don't agree with are the same. Find the connection. Be compassionate. Be humble. And I think what you'll find is that that will create connections that will last much longer than any opinion will. Compassionate and humble. Number two, don't hit back. This might be hard. This has been hard. And this includes your words. If someone insults you or insults your ideology, don't insult them back. Just because someone may put their opinion out there doesn't necessarily mean it's directed at you. Or even if it is, that you have to respond. This is hard for me. If someone insults you or your particular beliefs, what does that really matter? Sometimes people just kind of put their opinions out there, kind of like a hook with a worm, and see who's going to bite. And most of the times, a lot of us do. Or is that just me? Sometimes people just put their opinions out there, and this includes social media too. And yes, passive-aggressive comments are still insulting. And I'm bad at that. I mean, how many relationships have been damaged because of this? Because we hit back. We insult back. And so the question I've been asking myself this week has been, what am I communicating when I insult back, when I respond in such a way? I don't think I'm communicating hope. Number three, bless. Bless. See through someone's words, see through their actions, see through their what you perceive as their intent, and bless them. Show them kindness. Show them kindness with words or with action. You know, the how is really up to each and every one of you. But go above and beyond the not hitting back and bless instead. Talk about knocking someone off their game whenever they're trying to pick a fight and you bless them instead. They may not quite know what to do with that. And yes, sometimes the biggest blessing we can give is just not to respond. But the scripture Peter's talking about, he has this little section in this little passage. It's from Psalm 34, and it tells us basically that if you want long life, it means that you got to keep your tongue in check. Psalm 34, you can go look at that on your own, but it really tells us long life means keeping our tongue in check. Here's one that's really important. Decide for yourself today that Christ is Lord. And this is what got those early Christians in trouble. Did they love their country? Of course they did, yes. Many of them were good, solid citizens, but they loved Jesus much more. The people around them could not understand this. The Christians didn't put their hope in the emperor or in their governmental system or in their economy. Their hope, as we said at the beginning, their allegiance was in Christ first and above all else. Number five, be ready to share your hope. Now, Peter assumes that when we encounter danger or difficulty or a threat to our beliefs, that we're going to respond differently than the world will respond. And that our responses are going to show people what hope looks like. He didn't say be ready to share your opinion. He didn't say be ready to share your ideology. He said be ready to share your hope. This is important. Because I know we've all heard lots of conversations. I mean, we have the news going on all the time. We've heard lots of conversation over the past few months from many different people. Some of them Christians, and the last word I would use to describe any of these conversations is hopeful. So my question for myself this week is, have my words and my actions reflected hope? And I have to say, sometimes the answer is definitely not. What you hope for will reveal itself in the way you respond to difficulty. Do we respond differently? Are people asking us? Are they coming up and asking us, man, how can you be this way in the middle of such a difficult year? Man, wouldn't that be great if that happened to me once? Because I have to admit, sometimes I've not been hopeful. Peter's hoping, and I think with some of these people he's writing to, he's assuming that regardless of what happens, your response is going to be much different. Are people asking us how we can be so calm and hopeful during such a tumultuous time? You know, Peter is encouraging us to live differently, hopefully, and be ready to share the hope with others. And finally, be gentle and respectful. Being kind and helpful and godly will allow people to be a little bit more tolerant of you. I believe that. I believe human beings in general do appreciate being respected. Is that an obvious statement? And when people are respected, they will be kinder to you, I believe. I mean, imagine a world that people are just respectful of one another. And I'm just going to encourage us all, and myself included, don't contribute to the disrespect. Let's not contribute to the harshness. Let's consider every word we say, every action we make. Let's consider all of it as an opportunity to bless someone else. And ask yourself this week, do your words and your action express that God is your hope? Ask yourself that so that I'm not the only one doing it. Because my toes have been stepped on this week. And if not, if our actions and our responses are not reflecting hope, what are they expressing? Now, I know all around us, we all have about 8 to 15 people in our people group that we see each and every day. And some of those people, I will tell you right now, are in despair. They don't necessarily even know what hope looks like. And Lord, thank you that I'm able to see there are some great people in this room who exude hope. And it is encouraging to see, because I know what some of y'all have been through. And for you to still be hopeful, man. But if you are the one who needs encouragement, I want you to know that I can show you that there's hope. And I'm really close to living it out fully on any given day, right? I can introduce you to Christ because Christ is my Lord. He's above all, regardless of what's happening in my situation right now. If you are one who needs encouragement, maybe your toes have been stepped on. I'm just going to encourage you to do a few things. I'm almost done. Be compassionate. These are things that are doable, I believe. Maybe not all at once, but just work on one at a time. Be compassionate. Be humble. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Be someone who's not going to insult. Don't hit back. Be someone instead who's going to bless, regardless of what is said to you. Be one who has chosen to revere Christ as Lord above all else in your life, everything else. Be a people who are ready to respond with respect, with gentleness about why we live differently. And I believe that the hope you have will begin to exude, and it will make a marked difference in your life. In that 8 to 15 people you see every day, they will recognize that something about you is different. And the more you pray for opportunities to share your hope, God's going to give you opportunities. I'm going to close with this. It's a verse, last scripture, Colossians 4, 5, and 6. And it says this: be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And our answer is hopeful, because we know who God is. We know who the Lord is. I love this church. We have been blessed beyond measure here. And I'm looking forward to being blessed and to hopefully blessing you even more. So I will close with this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on each and every one of you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face to you and give each and every one of you peace. Amen. Let's all stand.